tonight's reading is from John chapter 9, verses 1 to 34, on page 1525 of the Church Bibles. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it now that he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man was not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out.
Thank you. Before we start, let's bow our head and pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Please help me to convey your word clearly. There are some difficult truths tonight that's very hard for us to accept. May the Holy Spirit enable us to see you more clearly, open our eyes, our ears, and our heart. In the name of Jesus, amen. So when you Google about suffering in the world, most likely you will see, like big examples such as poverty, Maybe you will see war, and you will see like people, you know, child born with defects, and so on and so on. All of these are big things, but I believe all of us here also have gone through some kind of suffering. Or maybe you are going through it right now. Maybe you are going through financial hardship, the high interest rate, inflation, groceries too expensive now. Or maybe you struggle from daily life, it's never-ending work demand, never-ending study, like never-ending parents demand. Or maybe it's a sickness or death of someone that you know. And the list can go on and on and on. In my last talk, I talked about how my brother passed away when he was only 20 years old. He died in a car accident on the way to the airport, coming home after graduated in US. It was really hard for my family, especially my mom. I believe when you go through this kind of suffering, all of us will have some kind of questions like, why is this happening? What did I do to deserve this? This life is so unfair. So when something happens, we want to know why. We need to find someone or something to blame. Some people blame God or society. You probably blame yourself. Some just blame, you know, like we need better science, better technology, then we will be better. This is a very complex and big topic, and I only have 20 minutes. Obviously, I cannot talk about it. So I will only focus on what the Bible tells us today. So let's dig into the text and see what God wants us to see. Let's read John 9, 1 to 3. As he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so the works of God might be displayed in him." So same as us, the disciple also asking why. Why is this happening? Is this because of this person's sin? Jesus said it's not. You know, we just prayed before for a few minutes. What did you see? It was all just black, just darkness. Can you imagine living like that since the birth? You know, you cannot read the books. You cannot enjoy Netflix. You cannot, you know, you cannot see all the creation, the cloud, the trees. The only color you know is black. And can you also imagine the suffering of this family, of the family that raising this child? And yet, Jesus is saying this suffering happened so that the works of God might be displayed. I don't know what you feel when you read that, but I was like, what? I just cannot believe it. Like, is God abusive? Are we just like his toy? What does it mean that his work displayed? What does it mean that our suffering so that his work can be displayed? And later on, we will see that nobody responded to worship God except for the blind man alone. Is this worth the suffering? I find this very confusing and very hard to accept. So let's go through my journey together. To answer this, let's go back to the text and discover some truths. First, when Jesus was saying this man is blind not because of sin, I believe he doesn't mean that suffering has nothing to do with someone's sin. It's just this particular person suffers not because of his sin or his parents, but it's due to the nature of the fallen world. So what is a fallen world? In Christian worldview, in general, we believe suffering wasn't meant to be. There was no sickness, no death, no suffering. That only happened after the fall of humans. In the beginning, God created the world. He said it's all good. He created the human. He said it's very good. Everything was good. There was no death. So when God created the world and the humans, and God is God of love, he's a relational God, he wants to extend his love to us. But true love cannot be shown without a trial, I believe. It's true love cannot be forced. So God gives human, God actually gives human everything, gives him the whole creation for them to enjoy with only one restriction. So human have everything with only one restriction, which is not to eat the fruit of knowledge of bad and evil. Otherwise, they will die. Sadly, our perfect representative chose to disobey God and trust the serpent because they want to be like God. Now, did the humans die straight away? No. They didn't die, otherwise we are not here, right? Like, but God is love, because God is love and God is gracious. But God is also fair and just. That's why he had to punish them as he had promised. He did curse the creation, and the human did die in the end. Well, this is the story of the fall. Since humans broke the relationship with God, suffering has been part of human life. But right after God, God also promised that someone special will come to suffer to end the suffering. Now, next, we need to discover, so we know about the fallen world. Now we need to discover, what does it mean, the work of God? What does it mean? Let's read the first 4-7. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. So when you're reading it, what do you think is the work of God? My first answer when I read, obviously, is the healing. You know, God is healing. So he is blind, now God is trying to show by healing. Do you agree? But is it? Now let's take a closer look. Over reading this passage over and over again, I found a few interesting things. You see, the blind man never asked to be healed. And blindness is representing darkness. And the funny thing is, when Jesus said the suffering is to display the work of God, after he said that, he didn't heal the person straight away. Rather, he started by saying, I am the light of the world. So you have darkness and there's light here. Then we see, John 1 that I hope can help us. So first 1-5 is basically saying it's clear that he's talking that Jesus is God, the creator in the beginning, and God gives light to the darkness. And from verse 9-11, I'll read a little bit, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So later on, this will help us to understand why it's only the blind man that recognized Jesus. This chapter helps us to understand that it is expected for the world or most people not to know who Jesus is. Now here we see that he is God. He could have healed the blind man just by using his words. But here we see that he got his hands dirty. He made mud. Why? I believe this reminded us how God created human. And now as if he's recreating human by making this mud. Lastly, he asked the blind man to wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. I believe the word sent here is important, as if Jesus is hinting that Jesus is the one being sent. So if I'm about to ask you again, what is the work of God? I hope you can answer. If not, let's read the answer from the Bible itself. Let's read John 6:29. John 6:29, Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. This is the theme of the book of John that we have learned for the past few weeks so that we know who Jesus is. Jesus is the I Am. He is the Yahweh. He is the Promised One. Now we have learned that suffering happened because of our fallen world. We also learn that God wants us to see Jesus even through our suffering. So if today someone put mud in my eyes and suddenly I can see clearly because I have glasses, I cannot see, what do you think your response will be? You know, like, I think you will be like, oh, wow. You know, like, if you know someone here that have been wearing glasses all the time and then suddenly now he can see clearly just be someone putting mud, what will be your response? I think I will be like amazed about this guy. Now, today we'll see, like, does this mean everybody in the story actually believe and amazed by this Jesus? We quickly see that it's not so. Let's see. So the first response is from verse 8 to 12. I won't read it. The healing is supposed to be something extraordinary, right? Like, it's a miracle. But then also this neighbor know that the blind man is now healed. But they're not excited about it. And we also see they're not mentioned in the rest of the chapter. It's like, that's all. They just see, oh, you're the one that healed and pass by. It's sad. And then we see on verse 16, talking about Pharisees, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Isn't this interesting? Last week, we see the Pharisees make a big deal out of Sabbath from Jason's last week's talk. Jesus healed someone who cannot walk by asking him to get up, take up your bed and walk. But based on the Sabbath law, it is unlawful to take up a bed on Sabbath day. They're focusing on how Jesus is asking this person to take up the bed instead of how come this paralyzed man can now walk. And now here we see that the focusing of the fact the blind man can now see, they're focusing on Jesus, you actually making mud on Sabbath day. What's even worse is that these extra rules are actually not from God. This is Pharisees make extra laws as it goes. God didn't give these extra rules. Now further, on the verse 16, other Pharisees actually ask, how can a sinner perform such signs? And now even the blind man said in the verse 17, he is a prophet. We see on the verse 18, he still did not believe the man, so they called their parents to check about this fact, whether this man was truly blind. But this created real tensions because the parents didn't want to answer the questions and be excluded. The parents didn't want to be excommunicated. So all they say is, he is of age, ask him. It's like politician answer, anyway. When I first read this, I couldn't believe this kind of response from a parent who suffers alongside the blind man all this time. But we need to understand being put out of synagogue means excommunicated. You are being cut out from your family, from your church friends. It's even worse back then. So, but now I can empathize with them. Looking back at my life, I too have responded cowardly when the cost is too high. Now, from verse 24, they summon the man for the second time. But this time, it's not for interview or a fact check. But they would just want him to confess that Jesus is a sinner, even though it's not the truth. It's basically like a blackmail. But the man stick to the true version of the events and argue that Jesus must be someone from God. So the Pharisees threw him out. Did the responses of the parents and the Pharisees make you cringe? That's what I felt. Now, Let's read the rest of the last few verses of the chapter. Let's read from verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You now have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." So I was wondering, all of these people, the story that we have read so far, so many people, all of them didn't deny that Jesus had healed the blind man. They have seen a miracle. Why don't they all believe? Why is it only the blind man that ends up worshiping Jesus? Why? I found two reasons. First and foremost, it's all by God's grace. Jesus is the one who came to him. So at the start of the story, Jesus found the blind man. He didn't find Jesus. He didn't ask to be healed, yet Jesus healed him. And here on verse 35, again, we see after the blind man was thrown out, the same thing happened again. Jesus found him. He didn't try to find Jesus. Jesus found him. If you read again, in the whole story, he didn't really know who Jesus really was. He know that this is a guy named Jesus, and he know that he probably a prophet, and he knows that he must not be a sinner, otherwise how come he can do this? He must be someone from God. But he didn't know who Jesus really was until here, that Jesus is the one that revealed it to him. It is only by grace that he knows that Jesus is the Son of God, is God the Son. Sorry to state the obvious, is another reason he believes is because he is the blind man. What do I mean by that is he's the one that affected the most. He's the one that experienced this. He's the one that experienced the personal transformation. He's the one that knows that he needs help. So God led him to see Jesus even through suffering. It is an irony. Only the blind man sees Jesus. All the ones that have eyes didn't see Jesus as the Lord. As Jesus said in verse 39, "As for judgment I have come into this world, so the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Now, before we close, allow me to answer an unresolved question I mentioned before. So what does it mean that the purpose of our suffering is to display the work of God? Is God abusive? Are we just like his toy? To answer this, we need to understand what does it mean to see Jesus? What does the Bible tell us about Jesus? What can we see? Well, Jesus is God himself incarnate into human world. Jesus is the promised one. And remember, he did not come in richness. He came as a suffering servant. He also suffered. He understands our suffering. So it was no game for God because he also suffered. He was born in the small town. He was born in a manger. He and his family had to run away to Egypt because the king wanted to kill him. He was executed for the crimes he didn't do. He was denied and betrayed by his closest friends. And I believe the peak of his suffering was during his crucifixion, not because of the physical suffering, but during that moment, God the Father turned his back on him. The perfect love and relationship between God the Father and God the Son is broken because of us. And Jesus endured all of this suffering to give us a way out of our suffering, a way to be forgiven and a way to have a relationship again with God. Now, if you remember, I said before that Jesus was using mud to make a new creation. At the end of the Bible, it tells us about new creation, a new heaven and earth. This is our future hope, our future state, a perfect relationship with God with no suffering. And it's only made possible because Jesus suffered for us. Let's see quickly Revelation 21. Let's read this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. The sea was no more, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Friends, our suffering is part of living in this broken world by our sin. But contrary to the popular thinking, our suffering is actually not meaningless. It has an eternal purpose. God can use it to direct us to Jesus, like it did to the blind man. I don't know what kind of suffering you're going through at this moment, but is it possible that God is trying to help you to see Jesus more clearly? It also can direct others to see Jesus. Even though in this story only blind man believes in Jesus, but now we are reading about it. And we are learning who Jesus is from his story. So maybe this blind man's suffering has helped you to see Jesus for the first time. This passage tells us that God wants to put an end to suffering, so much so that he sent his son to deal with it. And lastly, this passage tells us Jesus knows our suffering. He understands it. He lives it. He knows what you are going through. And one day, we have hope that suffering will end. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, thank you for your word today. It's such a complex and sensitive topic. Father, I pray for all of us here today. I don't know what kind of suffering each one of us is facing right now. Father, it is heartbreaking to see out of so many people that see your miracles, only one that believes in you. I pray for your grace and mercy upon us tonight. After we learn about this truth, may we not just take this as another knowledge or just story and do nothing about it, but may we have the courage to acknowledge you, even though it's costly. May you soften our heart to believe in you, because Jesus is the biggest proof that God exists and you love us. Please have a personal encounter with us like you do with the blind man. I pray that even through our suffering, we can see you more clearly and lead others to see you more clearly. Thank you for coming to this world as the suffering sovereign King. Thank you for giving meaning in suffering. In the name of Jesus, amen.